So today is our burning bowl ceremony. I know that a lot of you here have participated in it, but for those of you that don't, what we're going to do is after my brief message today, there'll be a time of meditation and reflection, and all of you should have received a little piece of paper and a pencil. May I borrow it, looks like. Did anybody not get a little piece of paper like this today? We need some up here. Sina, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so between now and the end of the service, the invitation is to write something on that piece of paper that you would like to offer to the fire of this candle in this burning bowl. Now, I just want to put all of you at ease that this paper is called flash paper. It's a special kind of paper designed exclusively to be used indoors. It burns quickly and has little to no ash to it. But if that's something you're not comfortable with, again, you don't have to do this. But we'll be coming up one by one. This side will be coming up row by row to this bowl here. And this side will be coming up row by row to this bowl here. And we've got a set of tongs if you want to hold your piece of paper to the fire. You don't have to use the tongs necessarily, right? Or do you?
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea. Okay. All right. What? Speak in tongs, yeah. Of course you'd say that, Peter. My fellow former Pentecostal. Yes, Julie?
Does anyone need something sturdy to write on?
Oh, if you need something to write on. Yeah, just raise your hand. Okay, I think we're good, Julie. Thanks. All right? It's helpful if you fold it. Yeah, you don't have to fold it, but if you want to fold it, you can. And the idea here is to just write on this piece of paper whatever you would like to offer to the element of fire. So how many of you have done this before? Wonderful. A lot of you have. Yeah. What are some things, and I know this is all very personal, and so, and I should say, standing up here next to you to assist you will be Blossom and Scott, our two prayer chaplains today, so they'll just be there to offer loving presence. But if you need any help or assistance or forget how to do it, they'll be here to assist you and support you in that as well. Okay? Any questions about logistics and how that's going to work? Your pencils. Pencils. What should people do with their pencils? Julie, do you know what people should do with their pencils?
When they're done?
When they're done?
We'll have a basket where you put them in.
There'll be a basket somewhere on your way out where you can put the pencils. Good question. Thank you. Yep, Sina's got a basket. Okay, it'll be in the back, right? Yeah, we'll have the basket in the back. Okay, any other questions about logistics and how that's all going to work? Good. Now, I just want to just draw our attention to what is it that you want to put on the paper? What are some things, and again, this it's very personal, you don't have to do it, but what are some things that might be put on a piece of paper? In something like this.
Expectations.
Letting go of expectations. Good.
Regret.
What else? Regret.
Pain.
Negativity. What?
Comparisons.
Impatience.
Patterns.
What?
Patterns.
Hope. Huh?
Hope.
Letting go of hope?
No, getting hope.
Oh, getting hope. Okay. So I'm really grateful that that just happened. I'm really grateful that that just happened. Thank you, Sina, because I want us to be able to think of this offering not necessarily as something just to give up and let go of, but also as something to welcome in as well. So just to put today in context, next Sunday we're going to do a white stone ceremony, which includes getting a white stone and each of you writing a word that you would like to be your theme word for the year. We'll talk more about that when we get there. And then 2 weeks from today, I'm really excited about this, do a letters from God ceremony where you are going to write yourself a letter from God that will be mailed to you about 9-10 months from now. So just a wonderful exercise. You write out the paper, give it to us, we'll hold it in confidence. We're not going to post it or anything weird like that. And then we'll mail it back to you in 9 months so you can just kind of see how your spiritual life ebbs and flows. So I'm just really, really excited about these opportunities to be a little bit more experiential in our thing. I'm super excited about the sound bath that's going on, about the Palm Sunday thing that's going on. Amber, I'm so excited about your sound bath. If you haven't been a part of a sound bath, let me tell you, it's where it's at. There's just something about music and vibration that's, whew, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. Okay, all right, back to what we're talking about today. So all these things offer, I want to just, again, you know, just think and offer some reflections that I hope will put what we're doing today in perspective. With regards to fire. And I got just a few thoughts that I want to share with you about it. So let's see here if I can get this to... There we go. This is really about living into the mystery. Living into the mystery. Mysteries are things that cannot be fully explained by words. They're known in the heart and the soul, but to try to put them into words is difficult. And I think ceremonies like this fall into that category. I really like this quote here. What is to give light must endure burning. What gives light must endure burning. That's a quote attributed to Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was an Austrian psychiatrist who survived survived the Holocaust, yeah. And he studied people who thrived through that experience and people who collapsed through that experience. And I really like this idea about enduring burning. How many of you like fires? How many of you don't like fires? I'm a pyromaniac. True confession. Is it okay around... I don't know if I should say this. But do people burn Christmas trees here? Okay. We had our Christmas tree in the yard yesterday. I was cleaning up some stuff, and I thought, "Oh, I can burn a Christmas tree here." So I did. It was kind of a rush. It was dry. It was dry as can be. Oh man, did it give off smoke? And I'm just thinking, "Oh, I hope the fire department doesn't come." And if you noticed a big plume of smoke coming from the Fairhaven neighborhood there, that was me burning a Christmas tree. You know. You know, but fire is one of these elements that we have this fascination with. So is water. If you think about water, is also one of these things that we have this fascination with it. We're drawn to it and can also be deathly afraid of it. Why? Because both these elements can kill and give life. Think of water. In the Christian tradition, baptism is a ritual. The word baptized literally means to be put under water. And so the experience of literally being put under the water, symbolic of death, and coming up out of that water, raised to new life in faith, really brings together. You know, if we stay underwater too long, what happens? We die. Can we live without water? No, our bodies are mostly water. So it's an interesting juxtaposition of the death take or the life-taking and the life-giving element of water. Same thing with fire. What's one of the first things we do if we're out in the wilderness and we have to protect ourselves? We look for food, shelter, and fire. Yes, the warmth that comes from the fire. I mean, the depth of it is powerful. We need it for our survival. And we're also aware of the devastating effects of fire and wildfires and, you know, the capacity to burn. Now, when I was doing my Christmas tree burning non-ritual yesterday, you know, it was hot. You know, and it was kind of fun to sit there from a distance, you know, and just kind of watch this thing go, you know. And I think for us, when we think about our lives, oh yeah, it's real easy to, you know, put something in the fire and then watch it go. Or maybe watch somebody else put their thing in the fire and watch it go. But the invitation here, and I felt this yesterday when I was watching the Christmas tree burn, this idea of putting something into the fire is actually an invitation to step into it yourself and become fire. I love the opening song that you did this morning about falling into love, diving into love. See, sometimes the experience of diving, of experiencing love is diving, falling into something, or walking into fire. And so that's why it's sometimes, you know, when we think about something we want to let go of in our life or something we want to bring into our life, it's more than just a transactional, oh, I'm going to do this or whatever. No, it's actually an invitation to go into and become that fire yourself. Here's why. Our brains, how many of you ever wrote, like, I want to let go of anger? Some of you already said, I want to let go of anger. I want to let go of anxiety. I want to let go of negative thinking. I want to let go of depression. I want to let go of, you know, you name it. Here's the deal. Our minds totally know how to do that. And some of you here are wicked, scary smart. You've read a lot of books, and you can just, here's how you do it. Here's where I think those of us in this tradition, in New Thought and Science of Mind, need to tell the whole story. It's the heart that inspires the brain. Now, some of you are sitting thinking, wait a minute here, I can control my thoughts? Yes. What helps you control your thoughts? It's this. I'm speaking to you as someone who's lost both his parents in the last couple of years, lost a job, lost a relationship. My brain can tell you everything I need to do to let go of it, but my heart doesn't know how. And this is where we can call on the assistance of elements like fire to say, help me. Take what is not mine to hold on to and give what is mine. In an experiential, mystical way, the elements can help you do that. So I just want to invite you to be open to that. If you're here thinking, I've done this before and it doesn't make a difference. I've done this before. I'm not sure if it's helping. Let me encourage you that the process is ongoing. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Our psyches want that, okay? But it doesn't work like that. But the elements can help. All right, next one. Enduring patience is the highest austerity. The Buddhas say that imperturbability is the most supreme. One is not renunciate if he hurts another. And that was said by Dhammapada. I think I said that right. Did I get it right? Good. Does anybody know what the word imperturbability means? You want to take a crap? Roy, what does it mean? It means you don't let things get to you. Yeah. It's what? You stay peaceful. Yeah, imperturbability. So I had to look it up. Yeah, it's you know, the word perturbed. I'm perturbed. Okay, it's the state of not being perturbed. All right. Any of you watch the show Pluribus on Apple TV? Yeah. Have you? I've never binge watched a show before. As I was recovering from a head cold on Friday, I sat in front of a TV and for the first time in my life, binged watched a show. True confession. And listen, I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I think it should be required watching for everybody in this tradition. Yeah. The themes of oneness, connection, belonging, individuation, and agency, it might disturb you a little bit. There's so much I want to tell you about it, but we might even just do a watch party here one day. I don't know. James Kress workshop. We're going to watch TV for 8 hours, you know? I mean, that's about the length of my creativity. It's called Pluribus. It's on Apple TV. You have to have an Apple TV subscription to get it. That's how our life works. But it's called Pluribus, okay? On our money, we have a phrasing, E Pluribus Unum. Does anybody know what that means? What does it mean? Out of many one. It's Latin, yeah. E Pluribus Unum. Out of many one. So if you want the experience of imagining a... I want to tell you so much about it, all right? But here's the idea, and I think sometimes in these traditions, we use our practices to spiritually bypass reality. Because let's face it, does anybody here ever get perturbed? Yeah. 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 no, I won't tell you that. I'll tell you that story later, okay? So when we say imperturbability, it's not never being perturbed. But it's what do you do with that perturbedness? Do you stop and allow that to be an opportunity for you to come back to yourself and learn something about yourself? Here's why it's important. When we don't do that, and we end up just reacting and we end up projecting onto someone or something else, something that we don't like or don't know about ourselves. And I see this happening all the time. The practice of imperturbability is having the courage and the presence of mind to, when you notice yourself becoming agitated, perturbed, or whatever, to stop, take a breath, observe what's happening, and then proceed. I've done a lot of marriage counseling in my life, and I see a lot of stuff that we don't love or know about ourselves get projected onto the other person, particularly in patriarchy settings. Men, listen up, men will project onto women things they don't like about themselves or don't know about themselves. And the effect of that is reducing women to objects to be afraid of or to manage and manipulate and stay from temptation. Women do the same thing. So again here, this invitation with the fire is to notice, is there maybe, for you, there might be a situation or something that you just want to offer to the fire, and you want to maybe shift your thinking from blaming that person or blaming that partner or blaming that parent or blaming that child or blaming that boss or blaming that doctor to, what is there here for me to learn? And allow yourself to be quiet and to be still. Third, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Does anybody know who said that? I should have had you delay that one, Brian. That's on me. Yeah, Jesus said that. Yeah. And it's just such simple imagery. And it's especially relevant this time of the year in winter, where it may appear that everything's dormant, my friends, there's a lot of activity going on in the soil. I think I told you last week, they say in winter, trees are their most active. Whatever's going on inside of a tree, you know, you may not see its buds and growing, but oh, is it active. It's one of the things I love about winter. What I love about darkness and cold is that invitation to cease and to stop. And again, when we talk about death, we're not just talking about physical death. I forget who it was who said, we have to die before we can really live. That's the end of the Shawshank Redemption. That's what it is. Yeah, my favorite movie. You have to die before you can really live. And it's an ongoing process. The experience of not just putting something into the fire, but literally entering into the fire is an experience of something within you dying. So if you're here today, and you're facing something in your life that may seem impossible, that may seem nonsensical, that may make no sense at all, the invitation is to enter into whatever that disturbance is with an open heart. It's been said, Stephen Levine, if you open your heart in hell, you're no longer there. And kind of said another way, hell is not a place to be avoided, but a place to be met with love. So I don't know if there's any hellish experience that you're wanting to offer the fire today, but maybe part of that offering could be entering into that with an open heart and seeing what it is. I think this is the last one. I love this. A blazing fire makes flame and brightness out of everything that is thrown into that. Marcus Aurelius. Any metal workers here? Silversmiths? Do you know how they purify silver? Okay, when they purify silver, they take it, they put it into a cauldron, and they heat it up. And the silversmith has to be very, very, very skilled in not letting it get too hot, or else the metal's going to be compromised. But with their finger very carefully and very thoughtfully on the temperature of the fire, that silver is heated up until all of the dross, all of the impurities, all of the not silver comes to the top and is burned off. And you know when they know, when the silversmith knows when that job is done? This is so cool. They can see their reflection in it. What if your life, what if my life are that of silver? And the intelligence of love, you might call it God, spirit, source, dharma, science, fill in the blank. But what if in the wisdom and intelligence of life, everything that's going on in your life is bringing up something in your life that is not you, that just wants to be taken away? Not in a punitive, shaming, you're bad people and God is up there just seeing how he's going to mess with you, okay? No. Let's see if we can take that out of our consciousness. But rather, in learning how to be with and accept life on life's terms, to know that all of this fire is for the process of all of our lights burning brighter. This community has a very strong light to it. I love it. Each of you have a light in your heart. I see it. And how cool is it? How could it be if that light wants to shine even brighter? Wow. Anybody want to be a part of that? All right. So we're going to go into a time of meditation right now, and so there'll be some music. I'll come up and guide us, and then we'll end with some music, and then we'll do our thing. So at any point during this time, if you want to write some things down on your piece of paper, you can write as much or as little as you want, and then we'll do our little ceremony after that, okay? So just taking a moment to, if they're not already, allowing your eyes to close. Taking a few nice deep breaths. And just settle into stillness and the sounds. Thank you. just allowing your heart to be open, to be witnessed, and to be held in love. It's remembering that we're not alone. We are connected. And then with a kind, listening ear, listening. What do I want to offer into the fire of love today? Just offering gratitude. For what am I grateful today? Just allowing that gratitude to well up from within. And sending that energy of gratitude, that energy of love and well-being out to those around you, and to those even beyond. And then as you're ready, just slowly and gently opening your eyes and coming back to the room. At this time, I'll invite Blossom and Scott, if you want to come down. And then what we'll do is we'll just dismiss ourselves row by row. So the idea is to come down the center aisle. And if you're on this side, use this candle. If you're on this side, use this candle. And then when you're done, circle back on the outside. Okay, otherwise we're going to get into a Seattle-like traffic jam here. We don't want to have that, okay? all right. So any questions or things about what we're doing? All right, I'll start with mine, and then, yeah.
Notice the smoke detector isn't where it usually is.
The smoke detector isn't where it usually is?
The detector's been removed.
Oh. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim. Okay, so if you folks would like to start, and then, yeah, we'll get going here.
Thank you.
Participate also, because you can if you want. You sure? Did you want to participate too, Jim? Because we can make time. What's it? Did you want to participate in this also? There's time.